Hello there, this is the Library Talker, also known as the Library Lady. I'm Library Talker on Blogspot at librarytalker.blogspot.com, and I'm the Library Lady on the Podomatic where this podcast is hosted. So let's start off this one, first of all, by saying I normally don't read nonfiction. I am not a fan. I'm the skimmer person. I'm the person who looks for the bullet points and looks for, you know, the bold text and just looks at that section and then I'm done. Same thing, you know, anytime for homework and when I'm doing research and all that stuff, I fall asleep at nonfiction. But hey, I've read a nonfiction book and I'm going to talk about it today. Yay! So the book I'm going to talk about today is a book I heard about as I was reading the really crappy fan fiction Big Bad that I reviewed recently. This is Into Every Generation, A Slayer is Born, How Buffy Staked Our Hearts by Evan Ross Katz. And oh my gosh, I was a major Buffy fan, and I was a teacher when I was doing, when Buffy came out. I was a teacher that the Buffy's first year was my first year teaching, basically. And so it, you know, I can tell you it's been a while. The show had an impact on me. I was very much invested in it. I've rewatched it quite a few times. I haven't recently, and not because of Joss Whedon, but just because, it just hasn't been in my zone at that time. You know, I just haven't gone, ooh, I really need to rewatch Buffy. And the last time I rewatched Buffy, I got to most of the sixth season, and then I was like, okay, I need to stop. Because it just wasn't vibing with me quite right. But that doesn't mean I don't love it. It just means that the mood wasn't there. So, this book is a very, in-depth, well, for the most part, pretty in-depth, breakdown. First of all, the more than half of the book, slightly more than half of the book is basically a season by season discussion of all of the main points, all of the things that happened, the big bads, the breakthroughs, that kind of thing, with some discussions about some of the politics and some of the other issues and things like that, along with impacts. But most of it is basically, here's season one, here's what happened, season two, here's what happened. And in the midst of it, here's some of the background of what was going on while this season was being filmed. Ta-da! Around that point in the book, in the physical copy of the book, there are the obligatory color images from the set and from, you know, screenshots and cons and that kind of stuff. And then a little bit further for the finishing of season 7, and then we get into the details and the nuts and bolts, and also more than anything, the post effects of Buffy and Joss. And Joss did not subject himself to an interview for this. He's not, you know, ever since the Fisher accusations and Charisma Carpenter's discussions and other people started coming out, Joss has kind of disappeared. So all of the quotes that we have in here are cited from other interviews. And Katz makes that very clear. He also says, you know, I tried multiple times, and he has a sample thing at the very end going, I really did try to get Whedon to talk about, you know, his side of it, but there's nothing. There are a couple of people who also refused to be interviewed or, you know, just didn't participate in it, like David Boreanaz. Didn't want to have anything to do with it. All of his quotes are taken from previous things. But we do get a lot of Sarah Michelle Gellar, a lot of Amber Benson. Emma Caulfield is in there. Claire Kramer is in there. And you know, you get quite a few. I didn't see any Eliza Dushku, but, you know, we did see a lot of live interviews, or, you know, as live as they were at the time, and of course edited for the content of the book. But Katz got a lot of interviews, sometimes multiple times, with people for to discuss this show for the 25th anniversary, as it is 25 years now that the show since the show came out. So For example, we got Danny Strong, who played Jonathan. He had his initial interview, and then he asked for another interview after the Charisma Carpenter thing came out. And Charisma Carpenters came out after Ray Fisher from Justice League. So we have, you know, then they went back to Charisma as well. So they went back to people after the allegations came out. And certain people were a little circumspect about things. Certain people were a little bit less circumspect about things. But for the most part, this book is the love of the show and the love of the characters, especially Buffy. But there are criticisms, and they're honest criticisms. They deal with things like having almost no people of color, and the first person of color you meet gets killed. You know, so things like that. They talk about the bury your gaze trope, because Tara had been killed at the end of, or in 2/3 of the way through season 6. And so even apparently in interviews afterwards, even Joss Whedon said, I effed up that one. And so there's a lot of discussion about the influence that Buffy has had on pop culture, the influence that she's had on fashion, the influence that she's had on music, the influence that the entire show has had on future shows, like the musical episode, which wasn't the first musical episode of the 90s, but it was the most effective one, and it got other shows to really get into it. So those kinds of things. So this has a really good, solid breakdown. There are still points where I'm like, oh, I wish that you'd gone into this, or I'd wish you'd discussed this. But, you know, you can't be sad when you're interviewing people and they're talking about these little things that have happened on set, good, bad, or indifferent, and you learn a lot. I'm not sure yet how this will affect my watching, because I literally just finished this before I came over to record. So the next time I sit down and watch it, I may be a little bit more about it, just because now I have this lens of Joss Whedon and how he behaved on set. Some of the quotes from people about how he reacted to things. Like, apparently he was super stoked and excited to tell Amber Benson that her character was going to die. It was like, you're going to die. And she just, it hit her wrong, which, you know, it would. And you know, when you look at his overall behavior on set, and it wasn't, I mean, he was a misogynist, even though he was writing this whole feminist ideal. And his ex-wife had some points to say about that. He was very misogynistic. He was very violent. And it wasn't just to the women. There is the discussion with James Marsters about how Whedon basically kind of threw him up against a wall because people wanted to ship Spike and Buffy, and they wanted a relationship there, and he was absolutely against it. How, you know, there's no way, I'm not going to have Buffy and Spike have a relationship. And he took it out on James Marsters instead of, you know, other things, and he was violent about it. So you see things like this. And because Joss Whedon didn't participate in this, didn't interview, didn't discuss, we don't get his side of the story. That doesn't mean that the people who are talking are wrong. It just means that, and I definitely believe all of them from what they're saying, and there are other people who corroborate the things that they saw and that they said that were happening. So it's not just one side of a story and you can't believe anything, but Joss doesn't defend himself, and maybe that's because there is no defense. Towards the end of the book, Danny Strong points out Joss has never even apologized. And so that is where a lot of people are very confused. But all of this is this impact of this show. You know, yes, there was the behind the scene drama. Yes, there were issues with how they portrayed people of color and the LGBTQ groups and all of that going on. But there's also, you know, the positives. There are so many positive interviews, interviews with cast, but also interviews with fans and bloggers and other people who are like, hey, this is what it meant to me. Like, yes, I see that there were problems in the background. I see that Whedon had problems. I see that the cast had problems having to deal with Whedon. I see all of that. But the impact of Buffy on my life is undeniable. And that is kind of cool, that this book has that. So yes, all of these things happen to these characters, and all of these things happen to the people off, you know, on the set and behind the scenes. But here is the impact of this show, and here is how it's played into the lives of other people, and here are the issues that have been addressed that now are addressed everywhere, which were never addressed until Buffy. Like, for example, the LGBTQ relationship, that relationship between Willow and Tara, that just normalizing of that whole thing. Not just we're going to have two people of the same gender kiss because we want to get ratings and we want to, you know, have a shock value. But no, here is a real loving, intimate relationship. It has its ups, it has its downs, but they're real people. So that kind of thing, that kind of impact. Yes, having the strong woman who, you know, has her flaws and makes mistakes, but she steps up and she tries to fix things that go wrong, and she doesn't run from her problems often. And when she, even when she does, she comes back, that kind of thing, that the twisting of that. So yes, there's the misogyny, and there's the, there's a lot of times where the show went off the rails or went the wrong direction, and people who were part of the show regret some of the decisions that were made. But overall, the show itself and the impact it had on culture and life, and how there are still cons that have Buffy people and coming out and in droves to get signatures and get pictures and that kind of stuff, and to hang with the people who haven't been part of the series in 20 years, you know, it's got all of that, how we were affected. And so I think it does a fairly awesome job. I mean, there again are still a couple of points where I'm like, I would have liked to see more of this, but that's probably more me than anything else. I think Katz has done a really good job. He has put himself in the narrative, though, I will say, because he is a big fan, because he is has done all of the stuff on Buffy for years, he's put himself kind of in the middle of some of this, and he refers to himself often in terms of when, you know, doing the interviews. It's not straight interviews. It's, this is what I said, this is what I saw, this is me waiting, using the pause to let them finish their own thoughts and not try and have a follow-up using the Oprah pause and that kind of stuff. So he is kind of in it, but I'm not sure that there would have been a better way to tell this this behind the scenes stuff without him saying, and this is where I'm coming from, and this is what I saw, and I asked them how they felt about that or what they saw from their point of view. So it's fascinating in many ways. It's sometimes a little light in other ways. It just feels like there could have been a lot more depth in some places. But at 350 some pages, I think it's doing a pretty darn good job of going over the impact that Buffy had. I know that I have been a big Buffy fan from season 2, and then I went back to season 1, but I started season 2. I've been a huge Buffy fan since then. Again, like I said, I've rewatched it quite a few times. So I'm loving a lot of the kind of the look backs and the little background knowledge, and hey, this is what was going on back here. It's not super gossipy, but it is very informative. So there is that. But yes, there are discussions about problems with the show, like where season 6 went and how far dark it went, and that scene with Marsters and Geller near the end of season 6 and that whole thing. It does go into that. It does discuss where things were and why things were happening and how people were treated on set, and how decisions were made, sometimes in a, it seems like a very vindictive way. You said something wrong, Whedon would do something to your character, basically. So, you know, having to tread lightly and be on your best behavior. But I will say also, there's nothing but mad props for the main cast, especially Sarah Michelle Gellar. He and the rest of the people interviewed are very much like all of that stuff that was said in the late 90s, early 2000s about her being a witch with a B and being horrible on set. Everybody else is like, no, that's not the way it was. That was interpretations usually by people who were male about a strong female coming in and saying we need to do these things, but not that she was being an awful person or egotistical. She was being professional and trying to get things done, especially considering apparently they had a lot of 18 to 20 hour days. And Gellar would point that out and say, we need to finish this. We need to stop messing around because people need to go home and get some sleep. So let's get this done and move on. That kind of stuff. I hadn't realized how many of the stunts Gellar did on her own. But she was very much involved and she had trained, and so she did a lot of her own stunt work in the show, which is awesome. We didn't see enough, I think, of Michelle Trachtenberg and her interviews. I don't know that he actually got an individual interview. I think he was quoting more from Trachtenberg. But he did talk to Benson and Carpenter. He did talk to Strong. He did talk to Blukas. And he talked to other people who are part of the series, sometimes in major ways, sometimes in little ways. So we got Julie Benz and her whole take on Darla, Claire Kramer in her Glory stuff, that kind of stuff. So this is a little rambly, but the book itself is actually fairly well organized. There are moments when it says, and we'll talk about that in another chapter. So, you know, at least he's kind of warning you, don't worry. You don't have to freak out. I'm not going to skip this topic. It is going to get talked about. It's just going to be in another chapter, so chill. So there's that. But, you know, overall, it was a very well done book. Again, I'm not a nonfiction person. And I will say this was a bit of a palate cleanser on the Buffy universe after that horrible fanfic thing that I read. So yeah, don't read that one. But this one, Into Every Generation, A Slayer is Born, How Buffy Staked Our Hearts by Evan Ross Katz. I'm gonna rate it well on this one. So on my ratings, one being, oh God, avoid, this is horrible. Alarms. Five being, this is the most amazing thing ever. Two being, three being, and four being, this is an I'm going to give it a four. Again, partly because Katz put himself in here, partly because there are things that I kind of wish had gotten into more detail, or, you know, maybe interviews that I wish he could have had, which are no fault of his own. You know, he obviously tried to get them, but some things that just felt like were not really there. And I just kind of wish there was a little bit more here and there. But for the most part, this is a very well done, until the very end, I really wasn't skimming. I did start to skim as we got really kind of near the end of it. It was kind of written like a newspaper article with an inverted pyramid where the most important stuff is at the very beginning. And then the farther along you get, the more you're likely to be able to chop stuff off, which is what the editors want when you're writing a news story. That way, if you have too many words and they don't have enough space, they can just chop off the end of it and everything's good. That's what was happening. By the end of it, I was kind of skimmy. There were more pages towards the very, very end, especially with regards to trying to get Whedon's point of view in an interview with him that I focused back in on. But for the most part, those last ones were like, here's two or three pages about the music, and here's like four pages about the fashion and that kind of stuff. But it just, the main part of it, I did not skim, and I really enjoyed reading that background stuff. So once again, Into Every Generation, A Slayer is Born, How Buffy Staked Our Hearts by Evan Ross Katz. 4 out of 5. It's like an out of It was very well done. I recommend it. Again, even if you're not a fiction person or not a nonfiction person and you're more of a fiction person, there we go, get that confused. If you're not really a nonfiction type of person, if you're a fan of Buffy, even a light fan, like a drive-by fan of Buffy, this is definitely the book to read to kind of get that background and also just kind of get more of where people are coming from in terms of relationships, especially with regards to Joss Whedon and that behavior on set. There are some other somewhat gossipy moments in there, but for the most part, it really is just an homage to Buffy the Vampire Slayer and her major impacts, the entire series' major impacts on society, television, culture, everything. So I hope you guys are having a really great day and everything goes well for you. Bye.